you walk up and down my spine and makes me feel strangely alive. I said, in these shoes, I doubt you survive. I said, honey, let's do it here. Let's stay right here. I'm not going to comment about that any further. From the album In These Shoes, Arturo O'Farrell and Claudia Acuña, and the title track, In These Shoes, and this album is on the Zoho label, as well as the Grammy-winning album that we'll hear a little bit more of in a moment after we speak with the Grammy winner, Arturo O'Farrell. He's a pianist, composer, educator, and winner of the Latin Jazz USA Outstanding Achievement Award for 2003. He earned a Grammy in nomination in 2006 and just earned a Grammy for Best Latin Jazz Album in 2009. Born in Mexico, grew up in New York City, and in 2002, Mr. O'Farrell created the Afro-Latin Jazz Orchestra for Jazz at Lincoln Center, due in part to a large and very demanding body of substantial music in the genre of Latin and Afro-Cuban jazz that deserves to be much more widely appreciated and experienced by the general jazz audience. Well, you and I both know that. In 1995, Mr. O'Farrell agreed to direct the band that preserved much of his father's music, Chico O'Farrell's Afro-Cuban Jazz Orchestra, and it's been in residence at Birdland in New York City for the past 13 years, it says here, as well as Arturo performing throughout the world as a solo artist and with his smaller groups. The CD that won Arturo a Grammy, Song for Chico, on Zoho, has received unanimous critical acclaim, and they're going to be performing at my alma mater, where Arturo teaches at SUNY Purchase, and I have a pair of tickets to share with you for Arturo's performance up there. I think he's also going to be at Symphony Space, and he lives in Brooklyn, here in the trenches with us, along with his wife, who's a classical pianist, and we are pleased and honored to welcome Arturo O'Farrell to Anything Goes. Good morning, Arturo.
Good morning. I'm so happy to be here this morning. I'm amazed by all that stuff you're talking about. That couldn't possibly be me. Well, I didn't do all that, did I?
But that, you know, between that and the kids, and that you're wondering why you're a little tired.
No, it sounds like false modesty, but it all sounds amazingly amazing, and it's actually kind of just, you know, we work so hard as musicians to do all the things we do, and all we really care about is to have more opportunities to perform for people.
Isn't that something? Well, I think the opportunities for you, Arturo, just keep growing and growing. Congratulations on the Grammy. That must be a surreal experience after being a hard-working musician for so many years.
Yeah, well, I think it's very true that there's two ways to look at a Grammy. Some people think it's really a godsend and a really important milestone in your career, and those are usually people who have them. And then there's everyone else who may be as good or better or greater than you and may not have one. So, I mean, on some level, what it really is, it's an acknowledgement by the Academy of Recording Arts and Sciences that that your work has somehow received, their validation, which I think is a very huge honor. But I think in terms of your career, we still duke it out. We're still in the trenches, as you say. We're still fighting very hard to create a pathway for the music that we love, for people to hear. It's amazing to me when I travel all around the place how few people really have an experience with Latin jazz and how few people still have yet to hear some of this music. So we're still kind of evangelizing the world for Latin jazz.
No, that's interesting. So even though there's certainly a wider acceptance of Latin culture across this country, you still feel like you are, well, you said evangelizing, but you're still spreading the word about Latin jazz, and you don't think you've entered the realm of the mainstream yet, huh?
Well, if you look at, if you look at, for instance, how people define jazz in the United States, it's defined by the few institutions and individuals who, for the most part, pay a very sidelong glance at Latin jazz, mm-hmm. don't really give it the kind of merit that it deserves, the weight that it deserves. In other words, what Jelly Roll Morton, who's considered the father of jazz, who was considered by many to be one of the first jazz musicians ever, he said something that for some reason we've tried to forget now. He said that without the Spanish tinge, it's not jazz.
Is that so? I never heard that quote.
Yes,
that's interesting.
He said it. He said without, he understood, because New Orleans and Cuba were kissing cousins. The interchange of commerce and people between New Orleans and Cuba at one time was like going to Jersey from Brooklyn.
Uh-huh.
You know, you spend half your life there.
Right.
And, Jelly Roll understood that the rhythms that were being brought to New Orleans on a daily basis. In fact, a lot of the young musicians were Puerto Rican, Cuban, Mexican. One of the first jazz musicians ever to be recorded was Juan T. Sol.
Oh, wow, yes. Mm-hmm.
And so nowadays, of course, out of a, 30-week season at Jazz Lincoln Center, we get 3 concerts. In the Ken Burns film, we're not even mentioned at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so, to some degree, the work of evangelism has to still be done. Yeah. We still have to remind people that really, jazz and Latin are, jazz is not a subset of Latin music. I mean, Latin is not a subset of jazz. It is a part of the definition of it.
You know, as much as the Ken Burns jazz series was of great service to jazz, you're not the only one to mention omissions. Among them, just so you know, Hoagie Carmichael Jr. Even though the series opens with Stardust, Hoagie is never mentioned at all.
My father's arrangement of Mandeca Suite is played in the background of I forget which scene, and he's never mentioned. Machito's never mentioned.
Isn't that something?
Never mentioned. For that matter, women in jazz. Women in jazz apparently didn't exist for Ken Burns and Wynton Marsalis. Women in jazz just were not there. No, there was very little mention of Mary Lou Williams, Carla Bley. The Woody Shaw got short shrift.
Mm-hmm.
We could spend 3 hours on Louis Armstrong, who, believe me, is huge, and huge for me personally. I love Pops. But, the point is that regardless of how people, history is funny. History is always written by people who define their brand because they need to sell their brand.
Mm-hmm.
And if you subscribe to their brand, then they keep getting richer. But it really, history is never written by a group of people. It's created by a community of human beings.
Hmm.
And I think that the enlightened jazz human being will understand that the contributions of Hispanics to American jazz and American culture and American food and American dance and American film and American, they will understand that this is a continuous community, that the Americas are one entity.
Absolutely.
And to look at us as, well, here's the flavor of the month is just a huge misunderstanding of the broad range of things that we have in common. And that's why, to me, the idea of evangelizing is an accurate concept, because there are people still who don't understand that, yes.
Yeah.
Every time you go to Taco Bell, you are dealing with Hispanic culture.
Yeah. Well, you're tuned into Anything Goes. I'm Lise Avery. We are speaking with Arturo O'Farrell, who did recently win a Grammy for his Latin jazz album, a tribute to his dad, Song for Chico. But I, you know what? I have to tell you, Arturo, the reason I began creating Anything Goes is for exactly the reasons that you have just spoken about. First of all, I knew a lot of great musicians with chops who couldn't get any airtime. You would, of course, would not be among those people at this point. But and the second thing is because I don't like the way music is pigeonholed. And my listeners obviously listen, and that's why they're tuning in, because they want. When in the 10 o'clock hour, we had Cape Breton fiddler Natalie McMaster, who has composed a flamenco piece. Mm-hmm. And here we have you in the 11 o'clock hour, because musicians don't want that separation. It's, don't you think it's the business of music that does that? Not the musicians, certainly. And maybe, and not the people so much.
Well, I think musicians do have a tendency to group themselves in their own cultural identities. I don't think it's a bad or a good thing. I think some people are always going to be like that, and they always, some people always break out of this. I just think listen, it's an interesting cause for me, because it has a lot to do with the way society perceives us as well. I mean, let's face it, in the past 6 months, we've seen two Hispanic men die at the, you know, at the hands of angry, I mean, an uncomfortable topic sometimes.
No, but you know what? I believe in speaking about uncomfortable topics.
But let's face it, I mean, this guy in Brooklyn, this guy in Patchogue, they were literally beat up and killed for only one crime, being Hispanic. And so, you know, this whole idea of NAFTA and migrants and Cuba and economic embargoes, and it all has to do with the same issues. Hispanics are, you know, very much a part of American culture. Latin music is very much a part of jazz. And people who serve our food, watch our kids, and do menial yard labor are a huge part of our culture. And we can't see them or their culture or their music as a subsidiary anymore. The time has come for that to stop.
Well, it's also, I think, important to remember that this is, no matter whether your family came over on the Mayflower or whether they immigrated on through Ellis Island, as my family did, we all came here to escape some kind of oppression or to better our lives.
You know, one of the most, it's almost funny because it almost doesn't matter what happens from here, but one of the finest moments in American history was when Barack Obama said, "My father may not have ridden in the bus."
Oh, well, you and I could talk for hours about the beauty of the
election of
Barack Obama.
But you know what I'm saying? Things do change, and things do, and people, and I mean, things do evolve, and for us as Hispanics, we look at the Barack presidency as a real harbinger of hope and a real glimpse of a time when maybe our culture will not be so considered such a subsidiary set.
Well, let me ask you this, Arturo. And by the way, we are speaking with Grammy winner Arturo O'Farrell. He won recently for his album Song for Chico on Zoho, and he is going to be performing at the Performing Arts Center at Purchase and also at Symphony Space, right, Arturo, this week?
There's a couple things I want to just quickly...
Okay, yeah, because this is such a fascinating conversation. I don't want to get you off of it, but I also want people to know where you're going to be.
Well, you know what's funny? We're going to be at the Purchase Performing Arts Center with the Purchase Latin Jazz Orchestra.
Oh, okay, yes.
Purchase Latin Jazz Orchestra is a wonderful institution that was founded by Ray Vega, who's going to be our guest trumpet player.
Uh-huh.
And it shows what an important commitment Purchase and the Purchase Jazz Department has made to rectifying this situation and understanding the importance of Latin to jazz, and that's very important to note. The other thing that I wanted to say is that, in point of fact, we left Jazz Lincoln Center after founding the Afro-Latin Jazz Orchestra. We were asked to leave because their economic situation had taken a tremendous downfall and blah, blah, blah. But the truth of the matter is we were very maligned from the beginning there and very marginalized by their own admission. Mm-hmm. And so we were, by the time that we parted there, we were all too happy to leave because we had been, we had felt that draft, and it wasn't getting better.
Mm-hmm.
But Symphony Space very graciously offered us a venue. We became a nonprofit institution.
Mm-hmm.
We have our own educators out in the field. We do our own touring. We've actually gotten farther, believe it or not, and done better work since we left Jazz Lincoln Center. Without millions and millions and millions of dollars of corporate money and a Cadillac parked in the lobby, we've actually gone to places we never would have gone to
mm-hmm.
with Jazz Lincoln Center. We've actually performed and begun our own education work and are working very hard to continue to do our work. So Symphony Space became our home. We just finished our great, great, great season-closing concerts where we called the concert Música Nueva Dos, where we perform music from all around the Americas,
uh-huh.
not just New Orleans. And we perform the music of Colombia and Peru and Argentina and even Ireland, believe it or not.
I see that's so cool. That to me is also an important part of your work, is to bring Latin music, but also not to pigeonhole that, because we are all, as you said, one people striving for, worldwide, not just in this country, striving for the same things for our families and for our countries. And Arturo, I want to play another track from we played In These Shoes, and we earlier played a track from the album that you dedicate to your dad, Song for Chico. And so tell me about Cuban Blues, if you would.
I would be happy to. Cuban Blues is a composition that my father wrote. That was actually also performed by Tito Puente, called Havana After Dark.
Uh-huh.
And it was just one of those typical mambos that just really is a perfect blend of... this is actually really more typical Cuban mambo and doesn't have any improvisation in it, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
But in some ways, it is akin to what you would have Count Basie do in his, there's some Count Basie charts are very, very, very non-improvisational. There might be a little eight bars, but the rest is just a big, brassy, swinging thing.
Mm-hmm.
This, to me, is the equivalent, but on our side. This is why I think Cuban music is so important, because we're basically doing the same thing that a Count Basie might do, but we're doing it over our rhythms and with our intent. And it's just an excuse for big, brassy, swinging, dancing, partying, loving, great music that just kind of explodes out of your speakers, and we hope people enjoy it.
Beautiful, beautiful. Can you stick around with a couple more minutes for us?
Sure,
oh, aren't you kind?
I'd
Thank you so much. Arturo O'Farrell from his album Song for Chico and Cuban Blues, and I can't possibly say anything more eloquent than Arturo just did, so let's listen.
Thank you. Hi, this is Ann Hampton Callaway, and you're listening to a mix of music that has something for everyone. Anything Goes with Lise Avery.
And we are speaking with Arturo O'Farrell. We just heard from his album, Song for Chico, and a song that was written by his dad, Cuban blues, actually arranged, I beg your pardon. Oh, no, composed and arranged. Okay, want to get it right there, Arturo. And tell us how your life has changed since the Grammy, just briefly.
Well, the first thing I noticed was I had 200 email messages.
Well, that was probably just from your friends.
And then, of course, I had an amazing amount of text messages and hundreds of voicemail messages. And not hundreds, because I have I don't have that much room in my voicemail. But I had I feel like the thing that has changed is it definitely puts you in a different class of performer, and it really, I haven't really absorbed quite the impact of the thing.
Right.
But for some reason it confers upon you a level of achievement that I think we achieved years ago, but that has been recognized.
I understand that.
And, it's actually really, I mean, really, really, I have to say, I'm very, very humbled and I'm very gracious. I really am very grateful to the Academy and for this thing. It's huge, and like I said, I don't quite understand it yet.
No, well, I can understand not owning that, because you're just doing the business of doing your business, and that's, you just keep on keeping on.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's like Tito Puente used to say, I still have to take out the garbage and feed the cat.
You know? Yes, that's absolutely true. I think people imagine that you don't, but it's, and you've got kids, and I'm sure they're still,
My kids still need to eat, they still need sneakers, and they still need to take out the, you know how it is.
And you are, speaking of kids, you're influencing kids by being on the faculty up at my alma mater, SUNY Purchase.
I love SUNY Purchase. I love the program there.
Yep.
I think the kids are outstanding. Mm-hmm. It's one of the rarest. I've taught in so many places. Like, you can't imagine. Mm-hmm. I gave the inaugural concert at the Juilliard Jazz Program.
Mm-hmm.
And I've taught at the New England Conservatory, at Queens College, City College, Brooklyn College, and the New School, NYU. And I have to say, I had no idea really before I was asked to be a part of Purchase faculty quite how outstanding the program is. Mind-blowing.
Mm.
Todd Kuhlman has done an outstanding job of putting together a faculty and student body that rivals easily any of the top conservatories in the world for jazz.
Mm-hmm.
And for people not to know that they can go and study with the same teacher at Manhattan School of Music and pay $60,000, or go to Purchase and have a real chance at an education and not put themselves in indentured servitude for the rest of their lives,
yeah,
and to study with the same teacher.
Yep.
I mean, there's just, you have to kind of wonder about the things that we do. But in this case, I mean, the faculty at Purchase reads like a who's who of contemporary jazz performance in New York City.
Yeah.
And I have a young trumpet player in my orchestra named Dylan Canterbury, who is just, he's ready to step into the big leagues, in my opinion. The saxophone section is extraordinary. I mean, it's an extraordinary band, extraordinary soloists. It's funny because the other day I was rehearsing them, and my compositions can be very difficult. And sometimes my musicians, when I bring them my compositions, they bitch and moan and complain and get all upset and go, I can't play that, man. That's written by a piano player, man. And my kids at Purchase, and I hope some of my musicians are listening, but my kids at Purchase will look at it, and they don't know that they're not supposed to be able to play it, or they don't know that they can't, and so they do. I mean, they'll play things that I wrote, and they'll do it, and they won't moan about it, and you have to shed it a little, you have to practice it a little bit. But my kids of purchase will do things that my professional musicians are just really reticent to even try.
Beautiful.
And it's a testament. And I mean, there's things about my professional musicians that my kids are years away from being able to do.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. That's the reason why people go to school.
Yeah.
But working with young people, I think, is probably the biggest privilege of a performer. I always say that of all the things that any success has brought me, the most important one is the ability to work with young people, because it's young people, forget about the standard, they have, you know, they're the future of our craft and future audiences and future practice. Forget all that nonsense. Man, if you open up your ears, young people will teach you a thing or two.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
How to listen to music.
Absolutely.
And if you help guide them as they discover themselves on their instruments, your life will be enriched incredibly.
Beautiful. That's lovely. Thank you, Arturo. And Arturo O'Farrell, you can find him on Zoho Records. ZohoMusic.com is their website. Arturo, is there a website that we can find your touring schedule, et cetera, et cetera?
I have two websites I'd love for people to check out and visit. One of them is my website, which talks about my schedule, my itineraries, my records, and my work. It's ArturoO'Farrell.com. One word, ArturoO'Farrell.com. And the other one, which I think is very important, is the one that deals with the Afro-Latin Jazz Orchestra and the Afro-Latin Jazz Alliance and the education work we're doing. And it gives people an opportunity to really become involved in supporting our institution. Our institution has very little institutional support. Everything we do, we put on concerts, we tour, we provide master teachers to schools in New York City, to really, really borderline schools, and I hate using that word because it's a weird, strange term, but we teach kids who are really, really in need of help, and we send master teachers to their school. We don't come in and do a show and leave. Our master teachers go to the school week in and week out and give them lessons and ensemble classes. And it's a work that we have very little institutional support. And so the work that we do really comes from the love and contributions of individual people.
And that website is, again?
AfroLatinJazz.org.
Is there a hyphen in that, the Afro-Latin?
No.
Just one word.
One word, AfroLatinJazz.org.
Okay, terrific. Thank you so much for making time for us, Arturo. I know you're incredibly busy. And you guys, you can check out ZohoMusic.com for the albums that we have been playing, or check out ArturoO'Farrell.com. Don't forget, two R's and two L's. That's what you really need to remember. And AfroLatinJazz.org, you said, right?
Yes.
All right. And you know what, Arturo? Ask Chris to send me links to all those. We'll post them up on the AnythingGoesRadio.com website.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so very much. Have a terrific day, and thanks again for making time for us here on Anything
Thank
Goes.
Thank you for the privilege. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And at 11:41, approaching 11:42, I have one pair of tickets to see Arturo. Solamente uno. And those billetes will be available in just a minute. Let me just find out exactly when Arturo's going to be up there.